Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another episode of Coop's Hot Corner, presented by Dad by Sports. I'm your host, your buddy Coop. Guys, it finally happened. At least partially happened. Blake Snell got signed. He got signed by the San Francisco Giants on a 2-year, $62 million contract. That's a good chunk of change, but that is not what he was looking for. For example, he was looking originally at a 5-year, $200 million contract with the Yankees. Actually, he was really looking at one point at $270, dropped it to $200 million, and now it's settled at 2 years, $62 million contract. Guys, Boris just looking worse and worse and worse. The one thing I will say with Boris, to give him credit where credit's due, for Blake Snell, Matt Chapman, and Cody Bellinger, they all have opt-outs after the first year, so they could try the free agency again next year. But you're talking about a two-time Cy Young winner, Blake Snell, who is just coming off a Cy Young award. You have a 6-time Gold Glove winner and a former National League MVP, and they are substantially less paid than what they were asking for with Scott Boras. Substantially less. I don't know if this is owners just going up and saying, we're done with you, Boris. Boris is not having a good offseason at all. I like it because I don't like Scott Boras. I hate it for the players because, again, I am a play rat advocate. I am all for a player trying to make his money and play this game in such a short window. I said it last week. I'll say it again. We're all get told at some point you're not allowed to play this game anymore. You're done. It's over. You just don't know if it's going to be 18 or it's going to be 40. Make your money while you can. I'm absolutely here for it. Play it if you love it. Make your money while you do it. If you're good at something, don't do it for free. God dang. So now that Blake Snell has passed, it seems like there are talks now with Jordan Montgomery going with the Yankees. I'm sure for substantially less than they were asking, because that seems to be the theme this offseason. Boris, buddy. Yes. And he's an agent for someone we'll be talking about later in this episode. We'll be covering the team later. So what's going on in the world of Trevor Bauer? Again, I said last week I'm not a fan of Trevor Bauer, but the storyline is a little interesting. I'm not a fan because of what the Mets fans kind of pulled the rug out from underneath us. But I feel he is being blacklisted, and I want to know for what reason. If it was because of the accusations, he was found not guilty, and it's over and done with. So why are we still making an issue of this? I don't get it. If it's his on-field antics, like him throwing it into center field while he was with the Guardians, and just that personality he has on the clubhouse, that's fine, but someone needs to come out and say this. Again, I think he is very loud, very opinionated, very self-centered. I also think he's a very good pitcher. And for the price tag, a lot of teams should be making an offer, considering you can never have enough starting pitchers. That's how I see it. The other name out there still, Jordan Montgomery, like I said, with Yankees, possibly, and JD Martinez. So I know Cubs fans are really pushing for management, which, that means nothing because the fans will pray to their ownership, basically, and nothing will get done. But it's an interesting discussion to have him as a DH for the Cubs. And he's still in discussions with the Mets. So we will see where that goes out. And all Scott Boras is. Anyway, the team I want to talk about tonight is actually kind of funny how this team got brought up, was because I was talking to T-Mop, and he was saying, you know, I get the first segment that you did with the Mets because you're a Mets fan, it's an easy topic for you to cover. You want to get some stuff off your chest, I get that. He's like a little tossed by the Pirates, and I said, well, the Pirates, I feel, are kind of skating away and don't get the recognition they deserve because of what is happening with Oakland. But Pirates are basically kind of doing the same thing. So I think after that move with Oakland, we really need to put a magnifying glass on the Pirates. So I want to bring light to that. The other team was the Dodgers. It was a crazy week. Whole family was sick. I'm just trying to get something out. I know doing research on the Dodgers is super simple because there's so much material, so much easy reading. But he looked at me, he goes, you haven't talked about an American League team yet. And I go, oh, dang. Didn't even think about that. So tonight, we're going to talk about the Houston Astros. I'm going to get this out of the way now. They cheated. We all know. And MLB did nothing to that guy. If you know, you know. We're talking about the 2024 Houston Astros. Again, they are America's villains in the eyes of baseball. Everybody hates Houston Astros, love Houston Astro fans. However, this is a 2024 team, different faces, some different faces, some familiar faces. So I'm not going to touch on what they did in the past. I'm going to talk about the now. I'm going to do my best not to let it flip. So right now I'm going to say, just get it off my chest, Altuve, you're a Hall of Famer, but God, I hate what you did. I truly hate what you did. But if you ask Rob Manfred, you know, it's just a piece of metal. Yeah, the Commissioner Trophy that, you know, it's named after you. It's just a piece of metal. Okay, I digress. So let's talk about the Houston Astros. What's going on with the Houston Astros this year? Well, same thing that happens every year. They get to the American League Championship Series, and they either win it or they don't. They are building, I don't want to say a dynasty, but they are building a sustainable and dependable and resilient team that is constantly winning. They won the American League West last year. Always to do it again. They are a good team. I'll shoot you the projected lineup. I'll shoot you their starting five, and we'll go from there. How's that sound? Let's do it. Jose Altuve, one of the best second basemen in baseball right now. Just signed a 5-year contract. He's going to retire an Astro. Like him or not, he is a Hall of Famer. Jordan Alvarez is batting right behind him. Man, you want to talk about some protection for Altuve? Man, that's good. That is some amazing protection right there. Alex Bregman batting third. He's on a contract years, guys. I think he's going to go back to Houston, truly in my heart of heart. I think he's been there. He's coming on his 9th season in Houston. I think at this point, he's just going to ride it out. He will be Houston royalty. So he'll be batting third. Kyle Tucker, right field. Jose Abreu. It's one of those, I still had to do a double take. I was like, man, I thought he retired. He is 37 years old. Did not have a great 2023, and I wonder why. Well, here's a reason why. He's 37 years old. I'm not trying to say anything like, oh, man, old guys can't play the game. Tom Brady proved that's not true. Again, different sport, but still, old guys can still get it done. Yainer Diaz, that is the discussion we'll be talking about here in a little bit. Chaz McCormick in left field. Jeremy Pena really needs a bounce back year. Desperately needs a back year. He was the hero in the American League Championship Series and the World Series in 2022, and just fell off in 2023. He needs to bounce back. He needs to have himself a good year. And Jake Meyers out in center field, great defensive center fielder. Projected rotation, Framber Valdez, Justin Verlander, Christian Javier, Hunter Brown, and Jose Urquidy. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Guys, if I mispronounce something, it's because I don't really know all these players. I don't know every starting five. I'm going off of reading. And if I mispronounce it, I apologize. Verlander is getting a late start to the season. He's older. He's up there. He doesn't bounce back like he was 20 years old anymore. He just doesn't have it. Which, I want to bring that up real quick. Because we talked about this in the beginning of the episode. It was a little tidbit, a little fact, a tinkle, if you will, going back to one of our earlier episodes. I saw something that came across today, and it blew my mind, but I'm like, yeah, that makes sense from a pitcher standpoint of like why Blake Snell wasn't getting paid a lot, why Jordan Montgomery isn't probably going to get the money that he wants. And I'm just going to read it off to you. It's the highest paid MLB pitchers in 2024 and their status by opening day. The top five highest paid pitchers for 2024. Number one is Max Scherzer. He's getting $43 million. He's injured. Number two is Justin Verlander. $43 million. He's injured. Number three, Jacob deGrom. $40 million. Injured. Number four, Garrett Cole. $36 million. Injured. Number five, Steven Strasburg. $35 million. He's retired. The five highest paid pitchers in the game are now going to be playing opening day. I know I brought this into the Houston Astros, but it's one of those when I saw Verlander's name, it made me think about it. I had to get that information out to you. So maybe that's why Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery aren't going to be getting paid the money that they do. But sorry, let me jump back into it. Justin Verlander is going to be out for a stint because he rehab didn't progress at the same, at the expected rate. So and that is going to be something we need to keep an eye on. He has a late start because of shoulder issues. Shouldn't be out long from what they're saying. We will see. Again, he's an older cat. Hopefully he comes back. A big thing that came up this year in the offseason, the Astros signed left-handed pitcher, closer, Josh Hader. Fantastic pickup. Really helps boost that bullpen that really needs help. That bullpen need some guys to step up. They truly do. They are not looking like the Pittsburgh Pirates bullpen that I mentioned earlier. Some guys really do need to step up here now. Do they all? No, I think Ryan Presley is great. Brian Abreu, just fine. But a lot of these names that I'm seeing, Montero, Sousa, Martinez, they need to step up. They do. So why didn't they win it last year? Because they would have won three American League Championship Series in a row had they won it. They were one win away from winning three in a row. They didn't make it to the World Series. Obviously, we saw what happened. Texas taking it all. Well, what went wrong? Well, they lost at home. I mean, plain and simple, they just lost at home. Let me read this stat to you. During the regular season, they were 39-42. They finished with 90 wins. So they were great on the road. Horrible at home. 39-42? That's pathetic. That matches the Pirates, the Red Sox, and the Angels. Not great company to be in. In the playoffs, 1-5 at home. 1-5. On the road, they were 5-0. It should be flipped. Like, you should not do well in other players' stadium, and you need to break even to really be consistent to be a good team. But they could not play at home. So, plain and simple, they need to be better at home. I don't know how else you want me to dice that for you. Play better. Especially in front of your home crowd. Another storyline to watch this year, the catcher, like I said with Diaz, I was going to touch on him. Behind the plate last year, again, Diaz is great with a bat. Fantastic with a bat. Has a lot of pop. His offense is nothing to be questioned about. He's in a six hole. I could see him in a five or a four spot. It's his defense. And specifically, pitchers don't like throwing to him. Last year, the pitchers thrown to Maldonado, who's no longer on the Astros, threw a 3.91 ERA. With Diaz, it was 4.06. Now, it may not seem like a lot, a big difference, but four runs, it will make the difference in games. If he cannot establish a relationship and get a good working relationship between the starting pitchers, between the bullpen, I could see him getting pulled. I could see him getting the plug. You got to get someone in there who will work with your pitchers. That is first and foremost. Another big storyline this year, and nobody, to me, it's one of those, I thought about it today, and I was like, oh man, I didn't even think of it. Dusty Baker's not there. He's gone. And say whatever you want about, you know, them cheating. Everybody loved Dusty Baker. He wasn't the manager when all that cheating was. It was AJ Hinch. But Dusty kind of brought that entire clubhouse together. AJ Hinch, I mean, did the same thing, but asterisk. Dusty Baker was that real glue that when everyone hated that team, he kept them all together and didn't let social pressure or outside criticism really bring that team down. He kept them competing. He kept them motivated. So who's taking a spot? Well, it's Joe Espada, who has worked under AJ Hinch and has worked under Dusty Baker. He's been passed over year after year after year. He was the bench manager, bench coach from 2018 until getting this job. So we'll see what he does. I think it's going to be just a very easy transition for him because he's been with this team for so long. He's been with the organization so long. I think he's going to be fine. I truly think he's going to be fine. So what is the goal? Is it winning the division? Yes. Yes, they should win the division. I think Texas had a great playoff run. I still think this is Houston divisions to lose. Is it winning the American League Championship Series? Yes, I think they need to do that. I think this is an all-in team. This is a team that has World Series or bust written all over them, especially with Alec Bregman on a contract year. I say that I think he'll be back. I don't know that. I don't. I think this is a make-or-break year for them. And to keep this going, I don't want to say this is a win now or and everything else after the season is done. They've shown they are competitors and they will always compete. But I think anything less than a World Series title for this team is a disappointment. It's a loss. It is an unsuccessful season. So that's all I have to say about the Houston Astros. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate all the comments, criticisms that you got give to me. I love putting out baseball content. I really do. I love talking baseball with y'all. It is truly my passion. I love football. Baseball is really in my heart. And I say that wearing a hockey jersey, but I just want to let Roger know that, you know, I care about him. Love you, Ripsaw. Guys, make sure that you tune into our main page, the Dadbot Sports. It's a bi-weekly podcast. We decided it's not going to be just monthly. We're going to do it bi-weekly. Also, if you're into hockey, don't be fooled by my jersey. Look up Roger's Pond Hockey. If you like sports betting, WWE, lists, Team Ops just put up his own personal podcast, the top 10 Pats of his favorite, I guess, his top 10 favorite Pats for St. Patrick's Day. And that's tripped up with Team Ops. Again, it's all part of the Dadbot Sports family. We will be recording again this Sunday. We will be talking the NCAA tournament, men's and women's. We will be talking about the free agency. We touched on the first day of free agency coming up on 2 weeks ago. We will be finishing off with the rest of free agency. And we're also going to be kind of touching a little bit on the draft. We're going to touch more on the draft as we get right on top of it, but we're definitely going to bring up some names and some key storylines, especially after all the moves that happened with the free agency. But guys, again, thank you so much for listening to us. Your support really means the world. Make sure that you follow us on Facebook, on Instagram. I was going to say Twitter. It's X. I don't know. It's a weird time. But guys, thank you again so much. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will talk to you next week. Take care.